In today's Mishnah, we're in the second and third Mishnah from the fourth parak of Masechta Gittin. The Mishnah begins, Bershona haya oseh beitin b'makom acher mavatlo. So initially, what would happen if a husband was overseas and he was sent a shaliach, a messenger, to deliver the get to his wife, say in Eretz Israel, what he would do if he regretted doing so, he would simply go and form a beitin in front of either two or three people, that's a discussion in the Gemara, and annul the get. Mishnah, however, continues. Hitkin Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel Zaken was Matakin Shelo Yosink Hitkin. He put an end to that practice. Midnei Tikkun Olam. In other words, Rabban Gamliel foresaw the negative consequences of such a practice, and therefore he put an end to it. And the Batanur even says they would give makot, they would malkin, they would give lashes to a husband that would the vatal get in such a manner. So, what were the negative consequences of such an action? Well, there's two explanations in the Gemara. One is what's called Midnei Takanat Mamzerin. And that is, there's a concern that despite the fact the husband's annulled the get, neither the shaliach or the wife will know about it. So once she receives the get, she'll assume she's divorced, then go remarry, or she thinks she's marrying somebody else, and then have children. But in truth, she's still married to her first husband. So those children will be mamzerim. So therefore, Rabban Gamliel has put an end to this practice so that such a negative consequence will never occur. Another concern is what's called mibnei takanat agunot. An aguna is a woman who is stuck in wedlock, meaning her husband's gone overseas. Sometimes we don't even know the whereabouts of the individual, and we don't know if he's alive, and the woman cannot remarry because she's still married to the first husband. So therefore, what Rabban Gamliel instituted was that if the husband's already sent a get to his wife, then if he really wants to put an end to the shlichut, he would have to chase after the shaliach and stop him. Otherwise, what would happen, Rabban Gamliel preferred that the get would actually reach the wife, she'd be divorced and there wouldn't be any issues of aguna going forward. Let's continue. Bereshona haya meshaneh shmo o shma, shem iro v'shem ira. What they would do initially when they would write a get, they would write the names of the husband and wife as they are known in the location where the get is written. So as you know, sometimes people are known by one name when they live in one country, when they move overseas or go elsewhere, they're known by a different name. However, once again, Rabban Gamliel saw that that would cause a problem. Therefore, itkin Rabban Gamliel hazaken shiukotev ish ploni v'chol shem sheyeshlo ish ploni v'chol shem sheyeshlo. He instituted that the get would not be valid unless they would write in the get the names he's known by in both the location where the get was written and the location where the get is going to be delivered, both his names and her names, both of them. And that's again mibnei tikkun olam. So what's the concern? The concern is, according to original practice, so it's only his name as is known by in the occasion where the get is written, and it's delivered to his wife. Then she'll go and remarry based on that get. However, the people of that town might say, look, who is this individual? That's not your husband, because the name is different to the name they don't know him by. And they'll be concerned once again that they'll say that it's not a valid get, and your children mamzerim, you shouldn't have remarried. So therefore, mibnei tikkun olam, they instituted that all names that they're known by, some will say even other names as well, all aliases would actually be written in this get to allay any concerns and be clear she's actually indeed divorced. The Batanura points out that if, however, he was known by two names in both locations and only one of those names was used, then Medeva would be fine because, again, the concern would not be there. However, lechachila, nonetheless, all names should be written in the get according to this takana. Let's now learn Mishnah Gimel. It says, Ein almana nifred mit nechaseyotem ela b'shvua. So, as we've learned previously, that a woman's not allowed to collect a ketubah from the estate unless she makes a shvua, she makes an oath to the other heirs, to the atomim, that she hasn't collected any funds for a ketubah yet. However, what happened is, Ninu melashvia, the beitin, said, actually, no, we're not going to let her make a shvua. The concern is that prior to the estate being distributed, the almana, this widow, she would have been dealing with the matters of the estate and also taking money, but she would have felt that she's entitled to it. And therefore, when it comes to making the shvua, she would happily say, I haven't taken anything, because anything she did take would be like, well, I was entitled to it anyway because of all the efforts I'm putting in. So therefore, the Chachamim said, well, that's a false shvua. So therefore, they prevented her from making that shvua. The issue is, if she can't make the shvua, she can't collect her ketubah. So once again, along comes Rabban Gamliel, Hitken Rabban Gamliel Hazaken, and he says, Shuten no derity to him, kol ma she yirtze. That in order for her to collect the ketubah, he said, this is what we'll do instead. We'll say, under the instructions, or whatever pleases the yatomim, we'll make her make a neder, meaning, they would say, well, she likes, for example, strawberries, and she says, well, make a neder, that if you've taken anything, then all strawberries are asul, you're not allowed to eat them. And that was considered effective. there's a discussion why is this more effective than a shvua. According to the Kati Stats Yerushalmi, that people perceive the fear of Nedarim much stronger. Another understanding is because Nedarim relate to an actual object that she'll see in front of her, say strawberries, it has a much greater impact and a much greater severity. And that was a way that the Ram Gamliel was able to institute a means of her making Neder in place of a Shuvah, and then they were allowing her to collect her Ketubah. Let's continue. Ha'idim chotmin al aget. When it comes to signatures on a get, the signatures placed on a get is Mibnei Tikkun Olam. That was also instituted at Mibnei Tikkun Olam due to concerns or by way of a takana, by way of a decree. So let me explain. According to Rabbi Lazar, the critical witnesses that affect a divorce are those that are present when the get is handed over to the wife. So really, you don't need any witnesses in the body of the get itself. So why do we have witness signatures there at all? Well, that is out of concern that what will happen in the future, the husband might come along and protest the validity of the get. And the issue will be that those witnesses that were present, the Edim Masira, they've either moved overseas or they've passed away, and we won't be able to substantiate the get in face of the husband's protests. So what the Chachamim instituted, they said, okay, simply what we'll do is we'll introduce extra Edim, these Edim that will be on the get itself, such that if there's any future protests, all we have to do is simply validate the signatures on the get, and that will be enough to reject any protests of the husband. So there was introduction of these, what's called the Edi Chatima, the witnesses that sign on the get. Some people explain, it was brought in the Gemara, that this would even work according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that Edi Chatima Karti, that the critical witnesses that affect the divorce are those actually written in the get, not those who witness it. So if that's the case, what's Mimnei Tikkun Olam here? What are they adding that's not the base feature of a base law of the get itself? So they explained that it could still work according to Rabbi Meir, the initiator would just sign the names. But the issue is, sometimes with signatures, you don't know exactly what the name is that the person signed. It's very hard to discern. So the takana was, and again, the concern is that, again, future protests, you won't be able to work out who these signatures and substantiate them. You don't know who the witnesses are. So the future takana, the Mibnei Tikkun Olam, was not only would they sign on the get, which is the base requirement, but they would actually print the names underneath so we know who these witnesses are. The final case, which is Mibnei Tikkun Olam, doesn't relate to Gittin, but brings us back to Hilchot Shemitah. And that's, as we've discussed this previously in much more detail, that is Hilel Hitkin Prozbul, Mibnei Tikkun Olam. So if you remember, we learned this back in Sefer Shvi'is, you can hear those shirim if you want to go into more detail. When it comes to the Shemitah, all debts are absolved. What Hill noticed is as it got closer to the Shemitah, people didn't want to lend out money. Understandably, they thought, well, they understood that they wouldn't get their money back because Shemitah is about to absolve the debts. However, there's a prohibition in the Torah that says, don't say that the Shemitah is coming and then refrain from lending achicha ha'avyon, the loti ten lo, the people that are destitute, people that require money. So therefore, Rabbi Hillel saw that people were violating this Torah prohibition. So what he did is he instituted this concept of a prosbul, through which is a contract where an individual hands over all his loans to Beit Din. And we've explained back in Sefer Shvi'it that once loans are handed over to Beit Din, Shemitah does not absolve those debts. So consequently, now we have a method of lending to people, which Hillel instituted, such that the loans will not be absolved by Shemitah, and people will continue lending money all the way up until Shemitah itself. And that was the takana mipnei tikkun olam. Here, the tikkun olam is that the people would not be violating the prohibition of not lending to achicha havyon. And again, people, this money would be available to those individuals. Those in Mishnah today.